Sound of Hockey episode 97. We wanted to call this one something unique, so we went with Connor McDavid.
Yeah, what a random pick that is.
Totally original.
Yeah. We usually try to go a little off the beaten path as we're coming up with these names, but it's just how do you pass on Connor? And really, there haven't been that many really great players to wear 97, so we went with it. I guess he's okay. He's a fine player.
Well, do you remember John Goodwin was on the call when we interviewed him, the scout for NHL Seattle, and he says he's pretty good.
Yeah, so he's a pro scout.
So if a pro scout says that he's pretty good, then he's probably okay.
Yeah.
So
we only have two more names to name our episodes after. Then we have to figure out something else here.
I know. And frankly, for number 99, like, I don't know, we're gonna have to go with like upside down Josh Hosang.
Yeah, we're gonna have to figure somebody.
Was there
out.
A good?
Yeah.
There was nobody who wore that number. That's crazy.
No.
By the way, if anybody knows anybody that knows anybody that knows Wayne Gretzky and wants to hook us up to talk to him for episode 99, we would be interested.
We would not turn him down.
Yeah. Correct. This is Sound of Hockey. I'm Darren Brown at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter, joined as always by Andy Ide. Hello, Andy.
How's it going? I'm at Andy Ide on the Twitter.
And John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL2 Seattle on the Twitter.
And we are coming to you from Seattle. This is our first full episode that we're recording since the naming of the Seattle Kraken. Any new thoughts that you guys have had since the big reveal last week? I know we did kind of a quick reaction thing the day of, but has anything else come to mind for either of you?
No, only that I know that they're now selling merch with the anchor on it, hats and t-shirts, so I'm excited about that.
Yes, they are selling that. I have purchased some merchandise myself, in fact. John, anything?
I'm getting a lot of pings from people out of the area that know kind of my involvement in this thing and my passion about it. And a lot of people are saying they love it. And then what my kind of second question to them is, how do their kids love it, or how do their spouse love it? And more times than not, they love it more. And I think they really hit a chord with younger generation. I do not have a lot of data to support that. But if you get the opportunity, ask people how their kids like it and see what the reaction is. And I'm feeling like it's the Sharks phenomenon. I mean, Darren, you've even talked about liking the Sharks. I think you talked about the Sharks. You liked the Sharks logo when it came out. And
yeah,
I think kids loved it. And it was very popular kind of across North America. Like, I've heard Canadian people talking about, you know, they love the Sharks logo as a kid. I think the Kraken's got some potential to kind of reach that kind of same phenomenon.
Well, just anecdotally, my nephew, who's a youngin, who's 15, and I, ironically, a Sharks fan, all week long has been sending me, he's a goalie too, he's been sending me mock-ups of people have done on goalie masks and goalie pads with the Kraken colors and motifs. So, I mean, he's a diehard Sharks fan, but he's pretty excited about the Kraken.
Does your nephew by chance have a favorite segment on our podcast, Andy?
I don't think he listens to the podcast. My brother told me that if it's longer than a TikTok video, he's not paying attention to it.
Okay. We need to shorten these up.
As old men, we have no idea what the length of a TikTok video is. So
I'm sure he would love. I'm sure he would have a favorite segment if he listened.
We're gonna start the show with some reviews. We had two reviews come in this week. We've had a nice little flurry of reviews after a long, quiet period. So if you haven't sent a 5-star review on iTunes, please do it. We will read it on the next episode.
Would you call that a Marc-Andre flurry of reviews?
Ooh, I would not call it that. Okay. I would call it a Theo flurry of reviews. Oh, our first one comes from Ready for Hockey. It says, anxiously waiting for hockey, 5 stars. I was really excited for hockey to come to Seattle, and this podcast has been completely informative and funny. Love the interaction, and thanks for all the info. You're welcome, Ready for Hockey.
Nice.
He's ready.
We are all ready for hockey.
Yes. The Chad was here, says, keeping hockey interesting, 5 stars. This one might create a little bit more discussion here. We'll see. Love the podcast, guys. Super nice to find a podcast that doesn't automatically assume their audience knows everything about hockey and takes time to try and appease everyone. That being said, I'm originally a Minnesota guy and love to hear the bit of talk about them, especially the high school state tourney.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Great.
Best tournament anywhere in the world. But thank you for covering all the local stuff and then still doing a little of every league, not really leaving anything out. I have my hopes in the NHL name, so this was obviously before the release, but I'll love it no matter what. I'm so excited you're finally getting a team, working the minors, but I'll be a huge supporter even if I am in South Dakota. That's
all
pretty
right.
Cool. But thanks for the podcast. I hate the one-timer sound effect.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
But
we've been here before.
I'm a, I'm a big fan of Goalie Gear Corner, including the accompany horns. So that helps no one stay safe, is what that says. So the Chad was here. That's a really solid review.
I don't know.
You know, like,
we've been down this road before.
Yeah, we have. And unfortunately, we're at, like, it's kind of precedent at this point, right? Like, mm-hmm. we've done 97 episodes of this show, and I don't think that we've ever not had weekly one-timers, maybe like for one of the bonus episodes we didn't have it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do we just drop that sound effect at this point? And frankly, that's really John's only job on this podcast is to do that sound effect. So
we tried it once. Remember, we heard this feedback once before, yeah. and we tried alternate sound effects, and we got even more hate.
Yeah, we did. We
like,
said,
how dare you get rid of that sound? People were angry about
give
it.
Give us one stars if we didn't deliver it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of similar to naming a hockey team when you think about it, right? Like, there's people that love it, and they might be sort of quiet about it, but then as soon as you know, go with something different, they're like, whoa, 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 that was my favorite part of the show, right? Yep. So, anyway, I hear you, and I frankly don't enjoy anything that John does on this podcast either, but, you know, I just don't think we can change it at this point. Hey, let's get into our podcast here. So the NHL has arrived in its hub cities of Edmonton and Toronto, which is a pretty big deal. They come bearing no COVID-related baggage because all tests have come back negative, and that's for all team members and staff, which is remarkable because they have thousands of people.
Over 4,000 tests that they've done in the last week, so pretty expensive.
You've pointed out a bunch of times that really phase three was kind of the scary part of this whole process because they're still going home to their families. They're not really under that much control, and, you know, good on the players, good on the staff for really being smart and getting into this situation, because now, you know, I know that there's still some hurdles to clear here. They all have to, I think, quarantine as teams for 5 days, something like that. There's still an incubation period, but at the end of the day, right, like, to get to this stage and say already that there's no positive tests in the bubble it's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, and I think as long as everybody stays in the bubble and follows the protocols, I mean, we should be good to go here. And I know that they're locking them down pretty good. Like, they're not even allowed to hang out in each other's hotel rooms or hotel rooms from other teams. You know, there's going to be some team-sponsored outings, the golf courses, so that should be pretty well contained as well. But yeah, I think, you know, it's looking pretty good as far as here on out.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. I've seen some quotes from some of the players that are talking about, you know, it's gone relatively smoothly, like smoother than they expected. They expect some kind of hiccups, not so much with COVID-related, but I also saw them talking about how safe it feels, right? And how protocols, once you're in the bubble, are like relatively strict. But they said it's the safest they've felt since March. That's what I've seen. Mm-hmm. I forget who it was, but one player.
Well, think about how safe you would feel if you were getting tested every day or every other day, right? And like,
and you were in a lockdown hotel, yeah.
Yeah, just from that standpoint alone, you know. And I've had one COVID test just because I wanted to make sure that it was safe for me to see a friend from like 6 feet away who's high risk, you know. And just knowing that I was COVID negative after that test, I was like, oh man, I feel so much better, right? Even though I didn't have any reason to think I was sick. But like, if you get that reminder every couple of days that like, nope, you're good, like, I think that would be huge. And just having that kind of access, you know, maybe our country should never mind.
But it's been funny though, because there's been players who seem like they're having fun with it. Like, there's, you know, there's like five or six guys I saw bringing guitars into their hotel. You know, video games are a thing. Someone brought Settlers of Catan, I saw. The Blue Jackets all had t-shirts on that said, let's play some bubble hockey.
Yeah.
So like, players are kind of embracing this whole thing.
Yeah. And the arenas are all set up, which I think they look pretty cool. You know, the NBA did their whole thing where they had the kind of like the empty court and then the huge screens right over the court, which I thought was a little overwhelming. I like the way that the NHL has done it, because you can tell they're still in the big arena. The screens are there, but they're set back a little bit. So I don't think it'll be quite as distracting. But also, I think it's going to add quite a bit to the look. It almost looks like a professional wrestling like match, right?
Well, when the seats are tarped,
yeah,
right?
Yep. With ads and stuff. Yeah. But though, also, we talked before about the different camera angles that we could get, and I saw that, I think it was in Edmonton, and I'm guessing it's in both arenas, that there was like a whole section of the corner boards that is now plexiglass that you can see through. So I think we're going to get some interesting low angle corner shots here for these games. So something that we didn't get.
That's very cool. One thing I thought was kind of interesting but also disappointing, and maybe this is a little too political for the podcast, but they did not seem to put anything, at least permanently, in the arenas that says anything about social justice, which all the other leagues that are playing right now do have something like that. So I thought that was interesting, especially when you consider that there was, it seemed like a big push for like change hockey culture and, you know, the black players that were speaking up and starting their alliances about the topic. It's felt like the NHL was trying to show a lot of support for that. So that surprised me that they didn't put anything, at least permanently in the arena. So
and at least that we haven't seen yet. We should maybe wait. We'll wait and see if they still do something. But
I did see, I think it's like a I play for something in, it says we skate for equality.
Okay.
So it's not on the ice. It's kind of behind the goalies. It's kind of subtle, but that's something. They haven't been, you know, pushing that as a feature. So maybe that's why we haven't really seen it. But who knows how it ends up kind of showcasing and how it'll be in there. But I think that's, I saw some people pointing that out, like they do. I don't know. We'll know the full extent until kind
we
of
see it happen. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And frankly, like they may have something planned that we don't know about it. It's just not quite as blatantly obvious as we've seen in other places. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they won't do something and that it won't be, you know, amazing, but just something that I noticed even before I saw other people pointing that out, that it,
well, and remember the boards are computerized. The boards are going to be computerized. And so you can kind of put things there. I haven't seen any words or kind of talk about it from the NHL, but they might not, you know, sometimes if you push that stuff as like, hey, we're doing this, it also gets misconstrued as people going, you know, like, oh, you're
right.
Which,
right. Good point.
It's a can of worms. But either way, we'll see how that shakes out. But that's a valid kind of call out,
I guess. All that aside, though, I am, you know, very, very excited that it feels like this plan is going to work. You know, Major League Baseball, we've seen the news there that most of the Marlins team has tested positive for COVID. And this whole time, I was like, man, the baseball plan, I hope it works, but I don't understand why anyone thinks that would work, right? Mm-hmm. To have the teams all traveling around the country. They're not really locked down or monitored when they're at home. And obviously nobody's monitoring their families, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of touch points there. So I'm disappointed because I was very excited about baseball. And I mean, obviously it's still going on as of right now, but
much longer?
Yeah, you wonder, right? And
the NFL seems like they're going kind of down that same path as baseball with the same sort of lax rules. Sorry.
Don't worry. Andy does not have COVID.
I'm impressed by what hockey has put together here. It feels like a really solid plan. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But man, it feels like they've really dotted their I's and crossed their T's. So good stuff. I'm thrilled to be watching hockey soon. And actually, we're recording this on Monday. And I think, when does exhibition start? Is it Tuesday?
Tuesday.
So by the time this is posted, you may have already been watching NHL hockey, which is incredible.
So on Saturday, when there's five games all day long, how epic is the butt groove going to be in everybody's couch?
It's going to be a significant groove on my couch. There's no question. No question about it.
I'm trying to think about how to get 2 months of workouts in the next 5 days.
Why, are you playing?
No, I don't plan on playing, and I just want to watch for the next 2 months.
Got it. No, I meant like, did you get like called up by one of the teams? So you got to like get in shape really quick. Speaking of teams, the Kraken. So we had some interesting news that came out here in kind of the aftermath of the revelation. One of the things was the polo shirt fiasco with Ron Francis, where they almost had like an unintentional leak, right? Basically, my understanding of it, and Ryan Clark wrote a really awesome story on The Athletic about what shook out, but they overnighted a polo for Ron Francis to wear on that streaming show that friend of the pod, John Barr, was on as well.
he was a guest.
It got shipped to the wrong address somehow, and I hope I'm remembering this correctly. They called this warehouse, and whoever answered the phone was like, hey, we're looking for a package that got sent to you by accident. And the guy who picked up was like, oh, who's it addressed to? And they said, Ron Francis. And it so happened that this guy in North Carolina is a huge Hurricanes fan. Oh. And he's like, oh, do you mean the Ron Francis? Right? Like, just by sheer luck, they found a hockey fan who then bent over backwards to help get the polo to Ron Francis in time.
Let me correct you real quick. The the exchange with the kind of the warehouse manager or whatever was the narrative. He was thinking it was the Ron Francis, but then he's like, oh, what are the odds? It can't be him. And then eventually Katie was like, well, are you a hockey fan? And he's like, yes. He's like, it's exactly who you think it is. Right. And then they basically turned over the whole warehouse. It turned out it was like delivered to the wrong place. Somebody expedited and went and got it. And then like, I think it was like while the announcement was going on. So Ron was going to be on like an hour later after the announcement, but like literally it was after the 9 a.m. West Coast time call. So like he was literally watching and he, there was a quote from Ron Francis talking about how he felt bad because he basically was like, cool, thanks. And like took it and then like was like done because he wanted to focus on watching the actual announcement. But then they did a follow up where they sent, they sent him a nice autographed gift to the guy that was like helped tracking it down. Pretty funny stuff, right? But that's in a way that whole story is about how locked down they kept it.
They right? really did.
And yeah, and that's part of the reason why you didn't see like gear sales like ready on like minute one as soon as it was announced. That's why you couldn't get things on Fanatics.com or NHLShop.com is because they didn't even have the logos or the name until the announcement.
Can you imagine, though?
Because they wanted to keep this on lockdown.
As all the effort they went to not only just keep it locked down, but they threw out red herrings and registered a bunch of fake domain game names that they weren't going to use. Could you imagine if a curious warehouse guy opens it? It's like, oh my God, this is a Kraken shirt. This is the new Seattle thing. And put it out on the internet everywhere like an hour before they were going to announce it. That's all that work. It would have been destroyed. So it's pretty funny story.
I'm surprised it didn't get like leaked before. Right. I think between the promo video on Wednesday and the announcement on Thursday, I figured somebody was going to kind of reveal something that, you know, that was maybe privy to information that was told to keep it quiet and then just couldn't do it. Because, I mean, I don't remember last time a lot of these like we knew Ron Francis was the name essentially like 12 hours before, right, that he was going to get hired. Mm-hmm. We kind of thought that, but it was like confirmed by, you know, the powers that be.
There was another story I saw that the fisherman family in the video are actually fishermen from Paulsbo.
Yeah,
that was their.
I saw that as well.
It was pretty cool. Those weren't actors.
One thing just came to my mind. I think Seattle Red Herring. That wouldn't have been that bad of a team name as well. Another thing that came out post name revelation was that gear sales were like merchandise sales were outrageous. So
crushed Vegas. Crushed Vegas.
So I mean, so that right there, like the proof is in the pudding, right? I mean, that's got to say something about the public reaction to this name and logo reveal.
Oh yeah, their website crashed when they first announced it.
Well, that so there's a couple different places where you can get the gear. Yeah. The Release the Kraken
store
or whatever it's called is just for that kind of branding, and 100% of the proceeds go to Youth Care, which is an organization that deals with challenging situations for youth. Let's just put it that way. And then Fanatics, the NHLShop.com, did not get their gear sales up until like 3 or 4 p.m. on Thursday. So, and then we, like you said, we crushed Vegas. And I've also heard, and this hasn't been reported because I've heard from a really good source, that at this time that we're recording, pretty much, we've done 4 times the amount of sales that Vegas in the same period after the announcement.
That's wild.
So it's the second time we've crushed Vegas, right? We crushed them in the season ticket depositing time frame, and now this. So it's just going to carry over to
you
the
know
ice,
where it
right?
matters.
It's
going to carry
over
on
the
ice.
It's going to carry over to the ice.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I think based on this, they should just award us the Stanley Cup already.
Yes, I think so.
By the way, on the topic of merchandise sales, if you're thinking about buying some Kraken gear from the Fanatics website, which I have done, we would implore you, just a quick little plug here, do it through the link in the show notes that we have here, because that actually supports us if you buy it that way, rather than going just straight to the Fanatics website. So just in your show notes, click on that link to buy, and that will help us. That's our one little plug about that. Also, John, you had talked last week about getting a tattoo. Have you gone ahead with any appointment for that?
I have not gotten a tattoo.
Okay.
Now, I've got a couple people that want to get one with me. So we're looking at a group rate somewhere.
Nice.
And if you're a tattoo artist, you might as well contact me directly and see if we can work something out and make an event. And I don't know how we do that social distancing style. But one thing is I got text about a tattoo that is basically a hybrid of the secondary logo, which is kind of the fishhook space needle thing, and the first one, which is the S. it's kind of a hybrid mix-up, mashup of that. And I had somebody kind of send it to me. I'm like, who's that? He's like, oh, I saw it on the TSN. And so I posted that on Twitter. I'm like, who is this? I want to track this person down. I want to know. Well, I got him. Uh-huh. It's pretty cool. So I just want to give a call out to Ryan. I'm not going to give his last name, but pretty cool. I had a pretty good conversation with him online.
I have a question for Ryan. I don't know if you asked Ryan this, but that posted like the next day or the same day, right, as the name release?
The next morning. I think he got it. That must have been the day.
So he must have like had a tattoo artist on like retainer and must have gotten that logo to him like, you know, stat, because... You know, I have a tattoo. It took me a couple of weeks to get an appointment.
Yeah, probably.
It's pretty amazing how fast. I was just amazed at how fast that was, that somebody had that tattoo. Like within less than 24 hours of the announcement, I was pretty blown away.
Yeah,
like that's diehard.
One of the guys I'm getting a tattoo with, he's like, his roommate must be a tattoo artist.
Could be, yeah. He could know somebody.
We have lots of good stuff on the website, NHL2Seattle.com, about the name reveal. And since that, we've also had some other good stuff. I've been doing a series of playoff previews for all these qualifying rounds. Well, I guess they're not technically playoffs, right? Qualifying rounds. John, I know you did a thing about the players to watch from the Northwest.
That's right. I do this every playoff season, but I'm basically ranked all the teams based on their rooting interest and ties to the Northwest.
Okay.
And when I say Northwest, I'm saying in the U.S., not Vancouver. So
that's Southwest Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. Might as well be, you know, Siberia, as far as I'm concerned. Another thing is Lily, who posted that article about the 20-something female guide to the names. She got her wish. Kraken was number one. So she posted a follow-up, and it was a little bit better received. People were a lot nicer this time, but it was a great article. And it was interesting still. It's not always something that everybody on this podcast is going to agree with, but it's a good perspective and a different perspective we're always looking for. And then later this week, I'm going to identify 5 or 6 different kind of player personnels to kind of keep an eye on during the playoffs with context to the expansion draft. You know, kind of matchups to look for, players to look for, people who could be kind of exposed in the expansion draft. The one that kind of comes top to mind is Pittsburgh goalie situation with Tristan Jarry and Matt Murray. So keep an eye on that. It's a little early, but again, we're getting close. These players, we should have a good sense of who's going to be available in the coming months, or I guess when the next season starts. But it's a fun way to look at the playoffs.
I also have a story, but you guys didn't mention it because you're jerks.
I was getting there, but go ahead.
No, I took a look. When I talked to Ron Francis last week, we talked a little bit about the 2021 NHL amateur draft and how if we don't get a full amateur season this year or no season at all, how that might put them a little bit behind the eight ball when it comes to drafting amateur players that year. So, you know, he plays it pretty close to the vest, but he did talk about some of the challenges that they could face.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Yeah.
Andy, we didn't really talk about your article because we wanted to focus on like the good content, you know, not talk to the GM of the team, like whatever,
just, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
You know,
so what? I mean, who I could have talked to him about that for my
mind, yeah.
I just chose not to. I
mean, anybody, yeah. Get, you know, any kind of warehouse worker can get a hold of them, right?
Yeah.
It's random, hard can it be?
who from your, you know, Pacific Northwest bracket are you keeping closest eye on? Huh?
Yeah.
What? Huh? Me?
Okay, that is all we want to talk about from a Seattle standpoint today. But we do have a lot of other stuff in the NHL to talk about. And man, oh man, what has happened in the desert? The Ooh. John Chyka fiasco. This is some interesting stuff. So read Craig Morgan's story. He's on, his website is now called azcoyotesinsider.com. He used to work for The Athletic and then he ended up getting laid off from there. So he just said, screw it, I'm going to start my own website. And his stories are great. And he's the best Coyotes writer there is. Oh, so, yeah. Give it a read. Cause it's fascinating stuff. But anyway, so the club's actual statement that they put out says, John Chyka has quit as the general manager and president of hockey operations of the Arizona Coyotes. Quit. That's an interesting word.
Pretty deliberate. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't
leave his position. He quit.
Right. The club is disappointed in his actions and his timing as the Coyotes prepare to enter the NHL's hub city of Edmonton, where the team will begin postseason play for the first time since 2012. Chyka has chosen to quit on a strong and competitive team, a dedicated staff, and the Arizona Coyotes fans, the greatest fans in the NHL. Man. Now, there's a second question in the statement. The club is moving forward and has named Steve Sullivan as interim general manager. He has the full support of the entire organization, including team ownership, executive leadership, players, and coaches. The club will have no further comment on the matter as the club remains focused on the opportunity to pursue a Stanley Cup. What?
Salty.
So, right. So I mentioned the Morgan story, and he does get a side from Chyka as well. And it's mm-hmm. you know, he softens it a little bit. He says, I love our players, coaches, staff, and fans, and I very much wish I could be with the team in Edmonton. Sadly, the situation created by ownership made that an impossibility. Now, it does sound like he initiated all of this from yes. what we've read. Am I correct on that?
Yes. Apparently, he was approached about another job, some other organization asked for permission to speak to him, but it didn't appear that he was going to take that job, but somehow that set things down a road that they couldn't come back from.
Yeah, so he was called a liar by a mm-hmm. source within within the organization. And, you know, we saw some weird things happening here over the last couple of weeks because Taylor Hall started to negotiate his new contract, and that was not with John Chyka. That was with yep. the owner, Alex Manuelo.
And usually you want your GM in those kind of conversations.
Yeah, you would think player. So. And also the new COO, Xavier Gutierrez, was there, but no GM. So you're like, oh, well, that's interesting. And then another thing was that he wasn't on the team's, like, travel list, right? So
yep,
all of a sudden, things were starting to pile up, and people were wondering, you know, what's going on here? Well, turns out there was something going on, and Chyka is now out as the GM.
Well, and Craig Morgan asked somebody, like, before he really knew what was going on, when he saw the list of the travel, and he knew this thing about the Taylor Hall meeting, he asked the Coyotes, and he got a no. He asked the Coyotes, is Chyka still the general manager? That was the question, and the response was no comment, which never is good. That's not a yes.
Yeah. Well, that was on Friday after a lot of this stuff was yep. kind of bubbling up. But there's a lot of things that were getting kind of mixed messages yeah. or information much later. Like, there was talk about that Taylor Hall meeting with the owner and the COO. Turns out Chyka was invited and either declined or maybe he even set it up. It's not clear, and everybody reporting on it kind of admits that there's a lot of pieces missing of the story, mm-hmm. but there's also two sides of a lot of this stuff too. So meaning it's very complex, and let's say it's fluid. It keeps moving right Ooh, now.
Yeah, good one. Fluid.
Well, the Coyotes have asked the NHL to step in and adjudicate the contract situation. They obviously don't want to pay him. He wants to be paid for the rest. He had 3 years remaining on his contract. So there's still some ugliness to come out of this, as they're going to fight over money now.
So there's a couple things here, though. For one is, remember, Arizona is in trouble for testing prospects during the season out of kind of the NHL process. Yes. So they were basically testing these guys while they're playing on their regular team.
And not for COVID. We're talking about, like, physical testing.
And now think how big a deal that is, because there is no kind of a combine, NHL combine, mm-hmm. to do other testing. So that ruling or whatever hasn't come up yet with the Coyotes. And I'm not saying John Chyka is kind of to blame there, but that's kind of like this weird thing too that nobody seems to be talking about. And then if we want to kind of keep going down that path, and this is one thing, my personal opinion, and I've been thinking this a while, is how long do we give John Chyka mm-hmm. Down in Arizona? Like, they haven't really made the playoff. I mean,
it hasn't really worked.
No, and if you look at his draft history, and I don't know if you guys want to go down that, but Chyka became GM in 2016. He's drafted 32 players. How many do you think have played more than 25 games in the NHL?
Five.
Darren, do you have a guess?
Seven.
How about two?
Ouch. Oh.
And who is it? Chychrun and Keller?
Dylan Strome is on a different team now, isn't he? Does he count?
He was drafted in 2015, but he was traded, yeah. The other one that's played 20 games is Barrett Hayton, and nobody else has played any. No, I mean, but it is 2016, so
they're still coming up.
Yeah, they are. I'm not going to say it's like, and I didn't do an analysis across all of 2016 and 2017. You know, it is, I've always wondered, how long are they going to give this guy?
Well, actually, they had extended his contract, though, so they were fully bought in, right?
I know. And he got the vote of confidence from the owner just not so long ago either.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's part of the issue usually. Here is that they were like, all right, we have our GM. We like the direction he's taking the team, even though John obviously didn't. But, you know.
Well, wasn't he? He was young too. Wasn't he like 26 when they hired him? He was one of the youngest GMs ever.
Yeah, 26 or 27. Yeah,
extremely young. But also, you know, he took a very different approach to a lot of GMs, which I think was refreshing in a lot of ways. And I don't know. I mean, it's just weird, and we don't really know all the details here of what exactly happened. But man, it is a messy, messy breakup, and it comes at. Frankly, it comes at a really bad time, right? And it makes you wonder, how is this going to impact the series now? Like, the Coyotes start a series in a few days against the Nashville Predators, and maybe that's a good segue into our preview of the qualifying round. But, I mean, I personally think, and you can read my thoughts on this series on NHL2Seattle.com, but I think that these teams actually match up relatively well. And I actually would have picked the Coyotes going into this because I think they have better goaltending. But now that there's all this like off-ice drama and distraction, you wonder, right? Like, is that going to have any kind of an impact on this? And now they're negotiating with Taylor Hall, and there's all this stuff. I mean, you definitely wonder what's going to happen.
I don't think the GM has much kind of impact in the playoffs, right? And I know what you're saying. It's an off-ice distraction, and so, yeah, there's something to be said. Do you want to know a name that's already being linked to the Coyotes?
I know the name.
Go ahead.
Well, I've heard Peter Chiarelli has been resurfaced.
So Peter Chiarelli, for those that don't remember, he was the GM in Edmonton and really couldn't do anything with a star-studded draft picks and personnel. But what's funny about him, so Scott, I should say Scott Burnside and Jim Matheson are the ones that kind of mentioned that there are rumblings about Chiarelli being tied to Arizona. But do you remember who traded Taylor Hall away?
Peter Chiarelli.
Yeah.
How eager is he going to want to play for that guy again?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Taylor Hall takes it personal or what, but that's a kind of a funny scenario that we'll see how
another
that
name on. That got thrown out there is Sean Burke, who played for the Coyotes and who has done a lot with Hockey Canada. His name's kind of, I read his name as a potential person here in Seattle. His name's out there for a GM job, so. That might be a better way to go, even though he doesn't have any experience. There's also been some talk of trying to get Shane Doan back into the organization. He really has no connection to them right now, but it wouldn't be as a GM, but maybe, you know, as a president of hockey operations or some kind of thing like that. So it'll be interesting to see which way they turn there.
By the way, Peter Chiarelli, people forget, but he did actually win a Stanley Cup with the Bruins.
Yes, so. He did.
Just to be fair, enough. Just, you know, devil's advocate. I still don't think he's, you know, did a good job or anything like that in Edmonton. I get it.
What have you done for me lately?
Did win a Stanley Cup. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this qualifying round. Basically, what I want to do is just run through it really quick and kind of get your guys' thoughts on A, what you think are going to be the best series and who you think is going to win each one and why. We'll start with kind of the 5 versus 12s, and we'll work our way into the closest matchup. So Pittsburgh versus Montreal, I think there's no question here. It's got to be Pittsburgh that wins this thing. The only way I see Montreal having a fair shake or even a chance is if Carey Price plays out of his mind. But aside from that, I don't see Montreal winning this.
I think so too. Although you look at, I mean, the weird thing about these qualifying rounds is it's been 5 months since these teams have played. So
yeah,
when you go back and look at their season records, like how much does that really matter right now? I don't know if it does at all. But Montreal was really good possession team this last year. They were like one or two in the league in like Corsi and expected goals, but they didn't score a lot of goals. So they had the puck a lot. They just couldn't finish. If somehow they light it up, maybe, and Price is good, maybe. But I think there's just too much firepower on the Penguins.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with both of you. I'll just call out that Carey Price, where did he play junior hockey?
Tri-City Andy? Americans.
Yeah. So he's somebody with local ties, and yes, will appear in that article.
Oh,
yep.
Okay. And then in the West, we have Edmonton versus Chicago. Interestingly, I wrote that the only way that Chicago had a chance, similar to how Montreal needs to get great goaltending from Carey Price, Chicago needs to get great goaltending from Corey Crawford, but Corey Crawford hadn't been skating. Turns out he's back on the ice now. So now you wonder, right, is he going to be able to play? Potentially. So, you know, he's had a lot less reps or fewer reps than some of the other guys. But, man, a playoff Corey Crawford is a very good goaltender. So suddenly that swings things a little bit. I still think that friend of the pod, Dave Tippett, is going to get it done up there. I think he's just got too much firepower.
I think it would be a pretty major upset if the Blackhawks won this. I mean, they really don't belong in the playoffs, but here we are. I like the Oilers all day in this one.
Okay. I do too, and you know what? They have the most Northwest connections.
Yeah, they are. They're not only Northwest connections, but like just WHL connections.
All right, so okay. Back to the East. We got Carolina versus New York, 6 versus 11. New York being the Rangers, not the Islanders. I should probably specify that. Any thoughts on this one?
I really want the Rangers to win this just because mm-hmm. Carolina voted against this restart because they didn't want to play New York. Apparently the Rangers were 4-0 against them in the regular season.
Yeah, so the Rangers did have Carolina's number in the regular season. Yep. This is true.
So I kind of like that little extra edge here that they didn't want any of this, and now they got it. So, but I actually think they're the better team. But this is going to be a fun one to watch because I don't know how motivated the Rangers are going to be for that. That may, if they saw all that stuff, that might give them a little boost here. And Panarin, you know, he can go crazy. So, and they've got six or seven goaltenders apparently in New York to play. So.
Yeah, exactly. So if they just, you know, it makes you wonder, right? If they just skate out all six goaltenders,
it'd be hard to score, man.
You'll never score on us. Just stack up six goalies in the crease. You're
wear them out in the Panera and like squeak one in the other end.
All right.
John, we didn't get John's pick on that.
Oh,
yeah, I know. I was wondering if you're. I think this is going to be the most interesting series in the East. You've talked about the Rangers kind of being 4-0 against Carolina during the year. I love the Carolina Hurricanes. I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. I hope they win a couple rounds. This is my series.
Here's a hot question for you. When the Hurricanes win, will they do a storm surge in an empty arena?
Oh, if they're the home team, maybe.
Without a doubt.
Interesting.
Oh, by the way, Rangers versus Hurricanes is the first game in these playoffs.
Ooh.
And that's this Saturday at 9 a.m.
Oh, boy.
So get those breakfast casseroles going.
Awesome. I will be finishing up golf with Wade at that time. We already kind of talked about Nashville, Arizona, but you guys can just give your picks quick.
I'm gonna go with Arizona just because.
Okay.
I'm going Predators. I think they're deeper than people think. I think they have three, maybe four lines that can kind of contribute. So I think they're kind of a sleeper in this whole playoff.
Some question marks in goal there. Pecorino was very bad, and now they have UC Saros is probably going to be the starter, but. One wonders, right? Because he's kind of young and unproven in the playoffs. So there's a question mark there, but you're right. They are very deep. They had a lot of guys that underperformed during the season, and they made a coaching change mid-season too. So I think you're right. I think Nashville is very good, but I think it's going to be a closer series than it should be probably on paper. I think this might go to all five games, my opinion. But I think Nashville comes out on top as well. All right, the Islanders versus the Panthers. Personally, would go Islanders on this one. I think they're just generally more fun to watch and probably better. And Sergei Bobrovsky stunk last year. So
he did, but he was rich.
Yes, very rich. Rich, but stinky.
Trotz plays a very tight structure, and the Islanders seem to stick to it, and they're tough on defense, and they've got goaltending, and then they've got some offense up front. So I think that I like them a little better. I think they have more dynamic players.
Okay. John?
I'll just say this is the series that is the least interesting to me, which is weird because I love watching Matt Barzal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one I always forget the matchups. Like when I'm like walking the dog or whatever, and I'm like, what is that? What's that fourth series in the East? I can't think of it. And it's like always because I forget Florida was even in the playoffs, mm-hmm. right? They shouldn't be in the playoffs either. Now they're a 10 seed and they could have mathematically been in the playoffs, mm-hmm. but it would have been unlikely, I think.
All right, here it is, the hottest contest, Vancouver Canucks versus Minnesota Wild. Obviously, I mean, the Wild are far superior, so really no contest. I don't know why they're even going to play the games, to be honest.
To me, it depends on what Canucks show up. The ones at the end when the season went on pause were not very good, but they were missing Markstrom and Besser. Those guys are both back now. Markstrom, I think, hides a lot of problems that the Canucks have on defense, so that'll be a big boost. My heart wants them to stay to win, but I've been a long-suffering Canucks fan who've seen them lose things a lot, so it wouldn't shock me if the Wild won this one.
All right, John, what's
your
pick?
I think every fan base is long and suffering, because I swear Darren said the same thing about the Wild or Minnesota in general.
Yeah.
So I like the Canucks here. It's funny how the Wild were sellers at the trade deadline, and somehow they have a really good legitimate shot at beating Vancouver, though. So I'm not ruling out the Wild. I think that series could be interesting. Canucks, I just love their young guys, and I think they'll be fun to watch. And fun doesn't always translate to winning.
There's some good skill in this series. You know, between Pettersson and the Canucks and Besser and Horvat, and then the Wild, like, nobody really talks that much nationally about Kevin Fiala, but Kevin Fiala, like, he had an unbelievable second half of the regular season. So if you do tune into this one, it's going to be worth watching. There's some good stuff happening there.
And the Wild have that Creel. He's not playing.
Yeah. No, he's not.
Sorry.
And the GM who got Fiala is pretty good in Minnesota.
Yeah, one would think, right? Oh, I wonder what he's doing. I wonder what Paul Fenton is up to these days. Haven't heard anything from him.
Well, he still gets paid his salary, right? So he's probably sitting on a big wad of cash.
Yeah, hopefully he's maybe on the beach.
Yeah. Back into the East. Toronto Maple Leafs versus Columbus Blue Jackets. Oh, 8-9.
I love this one.
Mm-hmm. You gotta root for the Blue Jackets, right? Like, oh, yeah. In Columbus, nobody expected anything from them. They made all those trades last year and then didn't really replace guys, so nobody had any kind of expectations. And sure enough, you know, Tortorella gets them playing Tortorella hockey, and now they're in this little play-in round. And you gotta wonder, right? What I mean, it could happen. Games. They're in Toronto, which would make it even more like,
yeah. Except there's no crowd.
But still,
You want this to go five games, so the Maple Leafs fans are miserable.
That's, no matter what happens, that's it exactly. I want to see this go five.
Yes, time at five.
If you were to like really make me, you know, put money down, I would definitely think the Leafs are a better team. That,
yes.
I just look at this matchup and smile, right?
Yeah.
From Torts to the Maple Leafs, right? And just it's
the angst. Just the angst of Toronto.
Yeah, that's why I just hope it goes five. I hope it goes five.
But you're right, though. Toronto has so much more firepower up front than you know a lot of teams, but especially Columbus. And so, can Columbus hang with them? Can they score with them? That's what we'll have to find out.
It doesn't matter if Columbus can score with them, though, right? Because they're a defensive team. So
that's right.
You know, Columbus is one of the best defensive teams in the league. Toronto is I don't know if they're one of the best offensive teams, but they're a good offensive team.
But those are fun matchups when you have competing strengths going at each other. I always like that.
Should be good.
And Seth Jones is healthy. He was hurt. Yep. The end of the season, so now he's back. So
he has a Northwest connection.
Helps the Blue Jacket. That's right. One whole year in Portland.
And finally, perhaps this is my favorite matchup of all of them, the Flames against the Jets. It's not quite Flames against Oilers, but it's about as close as we can get. I think, you know, an 8-9 between two pretty close to each other Canadian teams, I think this will be really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, the Jets have Hellebuck, you know, I think the best goaltender this year, but their defense is a little shaky. But they've got guys up front who can score a lot.
Oh yeah,
and the Flames. I don't know what to make about the Flames. They started slow, but caught fire late. And
ooh,
I kind of like Winnipeg.
Flames.
I didn't even mean that one, but I kind of like Winnipeg in this one.
Mm, okay. I would take the Jets as well.
Not just because they have Kraken colors, but
right.
Just because
right.
I think they're going to pull it out.
Or maybe the Kraken have Jets colors.
Oh, no.
No. Yeah, you're right. John, what do you got? Flames or Jets?
I like this matchup, and the bummer about looking at it is, this would have been great atmosphere for the games, right? Because Winnipeg and Calgary have
two great fan bases,
playoff atmosphere. But I like Winnipeg in this. I think they've got a lot of experience. Calgary just, I think they're getting old too, or at least kind of a lot of the guys are. And we saw how you know, Patrick Laine and Nikolai Ehlers kind of work together.
You're right, though, John. We're missing the sea of white versus the whiteout versus the sea of red here with the fans in these games. Yeah. It would have been great.
I mean, it's such a good scene there. So.
Yep.
All right, so there you have it. There's our picks. And then
take them to the bank.
Yeah.
Go to Vegas. Get rich.
No, seriously, don't go to Vegas. That's really dangerous. All right.
A lot of COVID there.
We now move on to our segments. And our first segment is everyone's favorite segment. What? Goalie Gear Corner!
Everyone's favorite?
Everyone.
Well, it's at least the Chad was here. He really likes this one, right?
It's some people's favorites.
Goalie Gear Corner is robust this week. We have a few things marked down.
A little too robust.
Yeah, maybe. Let's just gloss over really quick. Listeners, you should go on to Robin Leonard's social media and take a look at the birthday cake that he got from his family, because it's got his new goalie pads on top. And I know we talked about those goalie pads, so this is like, I don't know, goalie cake corner, I guess, or something. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was pretty impressive, and the pads look very, very similar to what he actually wears. So that was kind of cool.
A lot of good fondant art on that cake.
Yes. Okay, so our goalie gear for the week, we had a lot of people sending us concept art of like what Kraken gear can look like. And I mean, a lot of cool stuff, definitely. And I am very, very excited to see what the Kraken goaltender, Tristan Jarry, actually wears. Just kidding. We don't know. So our first goalie gear corner comes from Goalie Gear Nerd. It says, amazing new set of custom Bauer pads and mask for University of Michigan hockey goalie at Eric Portillo 20. Mask paint job done by Dave Art. So we've talked about Dave Art before. These are pretty awesome. They're the blue and maize. They don't say yellow. They say maize.
Right. No, maize.
But it's got three like slash marks coming down from the outer rolls. Makes it look like it's almost been like clawed by Wolverine himself.
Wolverine.
A Wolverine. You're right. But like, you know, Wolverine, the X-Men, right? He's got like the three blades. Pretty mean. Pretty awesome. I like it.
Pretty sharp.
And that's all we have to say about that.
You're not going
to
mention the mask. The mask with the what looks like the football helmet.
Well, yeah, they always kind of do that. Those don't blow me away.
Didn't you tell us before that you didn't like when college hockey teams adapt the football team helmet?
Yes, I did say that. But Michigan gets a pass for me because Michigan has been doing this for a very, very long time. Yeah,
before it was cool.
Yeah, before it was cool. This is my issue is more with like the Ohio State, Penn State, like younger programs that came in. And then the first thing that they did was try to match the football team. Whereas Michigan's, they've had this since I can remember. So I don't have an issue with it. Our next goalie gear corner, Brian Elliott has revealed a new mask. It's orange. Remember his outdoor, what was that, Stadium Series mask that looked like the Philadelphia Eagles. So it looks a lot like that. It's bright orange, but it's got like the wings on the side that kind of represent the Philadelphia Flyers. And then it's also got some moose antlers up on the top. Do you guys know why his nickname is Moose?
No.
I don't know.
His nickname is Moose because I believe when he was a kid, he was a champion moose caller.
Whoa. Now that is a random thing to be a champion of.
I don't know why he didn't go down that as a career.
Yeah, it seems better than hockey.
And our final goalie gear corner comes from, also from Dave Art, actually. Freddie Anderson also has a new mask, and he always has Lego characters on his. So apparently he's gone with this is like a Matrix theme. So it's like Matrix Lego characters. You got Morpheus and Neo on there. And then on the other side, there's a Maple Leafs logo, but it's all like pixelated. So that's pretty cool. I do like the pixelated Maple Leaf.
I do like that.
Definitely. Yeah. We now move on to our weekly one-timers.
Can I still do the sound effect?
Yes.
Okay.
Please do. Sorry, Chad.
Can't please them all. our first weekly one-timer. Belmont Arena has a new name, UBS Arena. So that's pretty exciting, right? You know, just got to be thrilled to have your arena named after a bank.
UBS did pay $300 million over the next 20 years, which is $15 million a year. That's actually a pretty good pull from OVG, a friend of the Kraken.
Seattle.
Yeah. that money is pretty significant. It's a lot compared to like comps across the NBA and NHL. So that's pretty commendable by Jim Lewicki. I also saw an interview with him where he said that it will be a carbon neutral arena because he made a commitment.
Ah, nice.
You know, and I know people are a little hesitant to believe that, but I think it's a good kind of salvo into that potentially be carbon neutral. So, or at least
it's a worthy endeavor.
Yeah, totally.
Our next weekly one-timer, whoopsh, Oscar Lindblom has gotten an extension on his contract, which is pretty awesome. Remember that he was the one that had to miss time to do chemotherapy because he was diagnosed with cancer mid-season. So that's pretty awesome. Very classy move by general manager Chuck Fletcher there in Philadelphia. I know that he's done this kind of thing in the past because I watched him very closely when he was with the Wild. And I remember having a couple different players that had huge injuries. And rather than have them worry about what was going to happen, he would sign them to contracts just, you know, to kind of keep that out of being an issue and to make sure that they stayed insured and all that good stuff. So very classy move. We know that Oscar Lindblom, you know, returned to the ice recently. So one would hope that he'll be back to playing next year.
So he actually, you know, he started this season before he got diagnosed and he had 18 points over the first 30 games he played and 11 of them, those points were goals. So he is a up and comer talent, and granted, like, he's probably got some recovery to do as far as getting in back in playing shape after you know, going through his chemo and his everything needed to kind of recover from this cancer. But pretty cool move again, and not that it should be considered the priority, but you need to kind of consider how this impacts expansion draft next year. And there was talk about they might be offering Philadelphia some kind of injury clause or some special circumstance where they would not have to protect him. But being that they've committed to 3 years, it's highly likely that he will need to be protected. And so then that means Philadelphia can't protect another player, which will probably be JVR. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Our next weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. Ilya Samsonov has been ruled out of these playoffs, the postseason in general. Now, I don't know if this is like a huge thing because they have Braden Holtby, and obviously Holtby was going to be the starter for Washington. But nonetheless, I mean, Samsonov, it's a concern because I think we kind of have our eyes on him here in Seattle. But, you know, you never want to see somebody get hurt.
He's out. He's not even taking the trip out to the hub.
Well, and what's, like you said, the relation to Holtby. Holtby's a UFA this summer. And it's not very clear. He's not expected to re-sign with the Capitals, but maybe they kind of reconsider the plan given this situation. But then that puts them in an interesting situation next summer when with the expansion draft as well. So I think it's interesting. Like, what if Holtby wins them a cup? Right.
That's what I was just going to say. If he goes on a run, yeah, then it's really hard not to just let him walk, right? It would be hard for them to say goodbye.
Well, but he can walk on his own. It's kind of like the Trout situation where it's like, thanks, guys. I'm out. I'm going to go cash my check anyway, somewhere else.
But this is where the flat cap could come into play, too. He may not get that big offer somewhere else.
They don't have a lot of room, too, though.
So it's a big mess.
Yeah, it's carnage.
Our final weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. The NCAA has decided that 3-on-3 hockey for overtime is now officially what's going to happen. Now, it's interesting, though, because there's always been some confusion, in my opinion, in college hockey because they all have different rules, like depending on the conference and the tournament and whatever. There's still some room for gray area here because it says under the new rule, all teams tied at the end of regulation will play a 5-minute 3-on-3 sudden victory overtime period to decide a winner. If neither team scores, a 3-person shootout could be used in conference games or in-season tournaments for advancement purposes.
So there could still be ties.
Yeah, there could still be ties depending on the conference, which is strange. They still didn't come up with like one solid format, it seems. But they did have an interesting clause in there, though. No spinoramas are allowed.
Man, that's harsh.
In a shootout. So interesting.
Like what's the scoring system for the rankings? What do they call it again?
Pairwise.
Does it count toward to overtime wins or shootout wins? Count toward the pairwise. That was honestly something that was explicit in the last rules where shootouts were not part of the pairwise. So it was like, what? Like, because it's like a computer algorithm essentially, and they're like, well, that's considered a tie for pairwise. It was weird.
Do you get higher ranking if you score on a spinorama at any time in the game?
Yeah, not the spinorama. No. I don't know where that impacts the pairwise ranking.
We close our show with tweets of the week. Andy, your tweet of the week.
My tweet of the week comes from a guy named Chad Hukalak, a media person up in Canada.
Two Chad appearances in this show.
Oh. This is a bit of a throwback from a tweet of the week previously on Tweet of the Weeks. You remember when they were trying to figure out where the hub cities were going to be, and the premier of Alberta sent out this video about how beautiful Edmonton is, and it had lots of videos of mountains and lakes that aren't in Edmonton. So he has a picture of those lakes, a mountain, nice, pretty serene scene, next to the one of the hub cities where they're in the picnic outside Rogers Arena in Edmonton, where they're on the picnic tables in the sun, and he wrote bait and switch.
He got him. Did you guys see the video? I think the guy's speaking Spanish. But it's like a news broadcast, and the guy is like laughing so hard, and then somebody put subtitles at the bottom, and it's saying like, all the players were getting ready to go to, you know, Las Vegas to be by the pool at the resorts, and now they're going to Edmonton, and the guy's just laughing really hard. Oh, it's fantastic. You got to look up that video. And my tweet of the week comes from Sean Gentile. Andy, you mentioned this earlier, so it kind of ruins the joke, but you said Brian Rust brought Settlers of Catan to the bubble. Zach Aston-Reese is looking forward to playing it. This is real. So that was a real tweet from a blue checkmark guy about what's being brought into the bubble. John, your tweet of the week?
My tweet of the week is a subtweet of another tweet, so I'll read the first tweet. It's Subban working out with Dwayne Johnson, otherwise known as The Rock.
Yep.
And it's a video of him, shows him working out with The Rock. Then Ryan Lambert retweets it and says, PK is 6 feet and 210 plus pounds of muscle, and next to The Rock, this looks like take your son to the gym day.
It does. He looks tiny
next to him. He does look very small. Yeah. All right, so that wraps up episode 97 of Sound of Hockey. Thank you all for listening. We are getting down to the end of our double-digit episodes here, so a couple more. Thank you again to the Chad was here. Thank you to Ready for Hockey for the nice 5-star reviews. Leave your 5-star review on iTunes. We'll read it for you next week. Subscribe on Stitcher. Subscribe on Spotify. Subscribe on iTunes. We will talk to you all soon for episode 98. Cheers. If you smell what the Rock is cooking.